Tuesday, 24-week Ordinary Time 2. The first reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 to 14 and 27 to 31a. Brother and sisters, as a body is one, though it have many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to the drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God had designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have a gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. And he drew near to the gate of the city. A man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd come from the city were with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this the bearer halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet had arisen in our midst, and God had visited his people." This report about him spread to the whole Judea and in all the surrounding regions. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme: unity in diversity. Many people think that perfect unity is impossible because people have so many differences with each other. However, they must try, because they are predestined to live with others. The Catholic Church lately emphasized very much on this topic to the ecumenical movements, by which she pays special attention to what different religions have the same instead of the different. She hopes by doing this, all religions shall build up a unity wicked enough to help people to live and to help each other. Today's reading emphasizes what people have together and their different missions. In the first reading, St. Paul built up his theology of the body, which is based on Christ's body, in which everybody are different parts. The theology should help the faithful to live in unity. Moreover, as each part of the body has a different function, each one of us also had a different mission. But to build up one Christ body. In the Gospel, Jesus had compassion for the dying mother who lost her only son. Through this event, we must realize that love should be the uniform of all people, no matter of their differences in language, nation, class, etc. Second analysis, the first reading, St. Paul's theology of the body. Third point, all people are the parts of the body. Though many are one body, so also Christ. St. Paul used the image of a human body with different parts to apply for Christ's body with different members which are the faithful. He said, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many are one body, so also Christ. In the human body, no part is so unimportant to the point that the body doesn't need it. Sometimes the parts which seem small and weak are more necessary. Therefore, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free person, and we were all given to drink of one spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. In Christ, no one is so unimportant to the point that he is expelled out. All the fences that separate people in a society, such as language, class, talent, etc., must be discarded so that all can become brothers and sisters. We will see that St. Paul applied his theology of the body in many areas. For example, the question of eating meat which was sacrificed to idols. St. Paul answered that one should eat without any question, but if the eating might cause a brother to lose his faith, he shall not eat it, because the brother had been redeemed by Christ's blood. Or yesterday, when talking about the agape banquet, he said, although who eat bread and drink wine, eat Christ's body and drink of his blood, became one body and participate in Christ's divine life. because of his blood. Therefore, all the must eat and drink in a way that they should not eat their punishment by the separation between the rich and the poor. Second, many different ministries but are given by the same Holy Spirit. Another of his applications is in today's passage. According to him, each faithful is given a different mission. Some people God had designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. All different missions aim at one purpose, that is, to build up Christ's mythical body. People have tendency to have a high regard for their mission and to denigrate others' mission. They think that only their mission is important and necessary, and others' mission is less important or not necessary. St. Paul used the image of the body to discard this bad habit. He said that all the members of a body are important in keeping a body healthy. The eyes should not say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head should not say to the feet, "I don't need you." Moreover, all the missions are given by the same Holy Spirit, who not only know each one's ability, but also the need of Christ's mythical body, so that he arranges different missions and gives necessary rate to each, so he can fulfill his duty. Another tendency is wishing to do what is considered as important according to worldly standards. For example, the tendency to speaking in tongues in Corinth community. In the gospel, there were no lack of people who had this tendency. For example, the mother of James and John asked Jesus to let her two sons to sit one in the right and one in the left of his kingdom. Jesus corrected them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant." See Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 43. Second, the gospel. Jesus had compassion for the dying mother and resurrected her only son. A third point. Confronting the dead, especially the death of a young person, a sudden death, or the death of many people, men feel helpless and frightened. Like the case of the mother in Lyne village, she is a widow and had only a son. He is her hope to support her during the old age of her life in the world. But he is dead now. She might never expect such a tragedy, can can happen to her. She certainly thought that he would be the one to bury her, not her to bury him. The Greeks, especially those who are Stoics, believe in God, but they do not believe he had compassion for people's pain and suffering. They reason, if people can make God happy or sad, that means people have an influence over him. When people have an influence over God, people is greater or mightier than God. But no one is greater than the Almighty God. Therefore, God must have no compassion for people. The second point. God have compassion for people. Stoic faith is contrary to Catholic faith. We have a God who had compassion for people because Jesus had endured all pain and suffering as a human being. Saint Luke reports Jesus had compassion for the dying mother who lost her only son. He consoled her, "Do not weep." He raised the man by touching the coffin and gave him back to her. In the fourth gospel, the author also reported Jesus wept. See John Gospel chapter 11, verse 35. "And he deeply moved within." John chapter 11, verse 38. "Before he raised Lazarus up from death." God can surely resurrect the dead. In the Old Testament, both prophet Elijah and Elisha raised up the sons of the widow. See 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 34 to 37. In the gospel, there are three times Jesus raised up the dead. First, he raised the daughter of Jairus. See Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 to 43. And Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. Second, he raised Lazarus, who is already dead, in the tomb for 3 days. See John chapter 11, verses 38 to 44. And he raised the man up in today's report. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. When people saw what Jesus did, they proclaimed, "A great prophet had arisen in our midst, and God had visited his people." Application in life. The image of different members of the same body shall help us to solve many problems in our life, such as the greed for power, jealousy, taking sides, and expelling each other. Every one of us has a standing in God's house, and the Holy Spirit gives us a mission to build up this house. God has power both on life and death. He concerns about human sufferings. These things must provide hope for our life because we know that suffering are meaningful and death is only temporal. If we patiently overcome suffering, we shall be resurrected and enjoy the God's glory. Amen.